All right. Well, we are in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes this morning, and the author, Kohelet, has been taking us through some really honest observations that are so relevant to this cultural moment. So we're going to talk a little bit more about it even today. He's helping us form some conclusions about the big picture stuff, the meaning of life, and where to look for it. And to make his case in the 4 chapters that we've gone through so far here on Sundays, he's been showing us exactly where not to look for the meaning of life. Roads that lead nowhere. And he has a Hebrew word for that. It's hevel. 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 Everything is hevel. Hevel literally means smoke or vapor. It's real, but you just can't grab onto it. You can build your dream house, you can fill it with stuff, but when it burns to the ground, that's hevel. Just smoke. 38 times the author helps us to see that the problems for looking for the meaning of life in places like work and relationships, and even in today's passage, even in religion, can be hevel. There's a saying, many go to church, few go to worship. And let that not be true of us this morning. So we're going to dig into a little bit about how we can avoid that hevel. See, even good, beautiful things can get all messed up, right? Nothing is safe from tragedy under the sun. And we know that's true. If we're not careful, we can make what we're doing here even hevel. So I sound like a real Debbie Downer, right? Like, wah, wah. Welcome to church. But believe me, we are going somewhere good. We are going to the meaning of life. We are going to get to fear God. We are going to get to see who he is. Because Kohelet wants us to be rest assured that there really is meaning. And the meaning isn't in all the things that I just described. The meaning is in someone who's above all of these things. Someone who transcends us tiny humans spinning around on this third rock from the sun. And we know that we can know that someone, because the Bible tells us we can. But we have to stop and listen if we're going to do that. Not to me. I don't mean listen to me. I mean listen to God. The question that our passage today answers is, if life under the sun without God is hevel, how can we find meaning that lasts? And the answer is going to be simple. Look up. So prepare yourself to meet the meaning of life. Get yourself ready to hear from God. And could you please stand for the reading of God's word? Ezekiel 5, verses 1 through 7. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you're on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless, hevel. Therefore, fear God. The word of the Lord. You can have a seat. All right. Big stuff today. Simple, but really important. Kohelet invites us to look to God for our meaning. But he warns us that when we do, that we ought to tread carefully. Even Moses had to take his shoes off when he came to stand before a holy God. See, taking your shoes off was a sign of reverence and humility and respect. And also the roads weren't paved and the animals weren't house trained, right? So we've got a problem. The problem is, how do we, with all of our faults, with all the sin on our shoes that we've tracked in here, how do we approach a holy God? And this passage gives us some warnings. Warnings for when we come to worship. And I see four warnings in this passage. The first one is, come prepared. Verse 1 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Or more literally, keep your foot. Like a hiker scrambling to the top of Yosemite Falls. The caution here is to be really deliberate, thoughtful, to step carefully, knowing that God is here, and show him the reverence that he deserves. So don't take my word for it, but look at how some of the writers of Scripture approached God. Start with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, he says, no one is like you, Lord. You are great and your name is mighty in power. Who should not fear you, King of Nations? This is your due. Or the chronicler in 1 Chronicles 29. He approaches, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. See, they approached by telling him, you're the creator, you're the sustainer of the universe, you're the one who's all-knowing, you're the one who's all-powerful. And with that in mind, we won't impress him just by showing up. So come prepared. Think about who we're here to worship. Which leads to the next warning. When we worship God, come to listen. There is nothing you or I can say or do that's going to be more impressive than what our holy God has to say to us. So look again at verses 1 through 3. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth. So let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares and many words mark the speech of a fool. Okay, so I know that in saying that, I'm the elephant in the room because I'm the one with all the words right now. When I first started studying this passage, this was not lost on me. I froze and I thought, this is telling me not to say anything. How am I going to come and give you guys something for this morning? I thought maybe 30 minutes of silence would be a better use of your time. And I prayed, and I think that God has allowed me to come and say something before you, because there's a warning here that needs to be understood. There's a warning that needs to be unpacked from an ancient language that we don't speak, a Hebrew word that we need translated. And so sometimes God uses a teacher, so here goes. Let's unpack the word for listen. The word here is shema. Go near to listen. Go near to shema when you come to the Lord. And it means so much more than the English word for listen. So how many of you here have a driver's license? Like most of you? Okay. How many of you here are raring to go to get your driver's license as soon as you're 16? A few of you, right? Right, okay. So in order to get your driver's license, you're going to have to pass a test, you're going to have to know the rules, and one of the rules is what to do when you hear a couple of notes. When you hear, wah, 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 do you know what to do? Okay. I hope you guys know what to do. So if you drive an ambulance, anybody drive an ambulance in the room? Yeah, I know. We don't always do what we're supposed to do, but when you hear those notes, you're not just supposed to listen, like, oh, isn't that nice? I'll just keep going. You're supposed to listen and do something. You're supposed to listen and pull over. You're supposed to not just hear it, but do it. The scripture says we might have ears, but we don't shema. We don't listen. Or to explain this more, turn in your Bible to Mark 12, 29 through 31. Mark 12, 29 through 31. It records a time when the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. They tried to ask him, which one of God's laws is most important? Like he would pick one and then they would get on him for not picking a different one. So instead of just picking one, He summed them all up by quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And this is a passage called the Shema, the hear, the listen. And it begins like this. Oops, ambulance picture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then Jesus adds from Leviticus 19:18, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. So listen to what Jesus told the people to do. He told them, hear, O Israel, Shema, O Israel, listen. Show what you heard by doing, by loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Shema means listen, and it goes hand in hand with action. Listen obediently. Listen and do what you heard, just like that ambulance. Listen and do it. Or hear it again from James. Don't just trust me, trust Scripture. James, the brother of Jesus, says in James 1, 22 through 26, but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Hevel. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. See, doing it. Come to God to listen and follow through in your doing. And that's what the teacher Kohelet says is the kind of worship worthy of our holy God. And here's the next warning from our passage. It's in verse 2. He says, let your words be few. He says, when you come to worship God, talk less, essentially. Offer less of what verse 1 calls the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. See, he's calling out people for coming to the temple with their worthless offerings, or for us for saying a bunch of religious sounding stuff while we've come in here with sin on our shoes. And the point is, well, we're all tiny humans contributing to the brokenness in this messed up world, and our brokenness has followed us in here too. And if you believe that is true, I think you do, then we ought to all be humbled enough to the point where we listen to God more than we speak. We listen to him more and talk less. And while he's at it, Kohelet talks more about our over-talking. He talks about the way we live over-busy lives, and he does this by talking about dreams. How does this connect? Look at verse 3. A dream comes when there are many cares and many words mark the speech of a fool. And then he repeats that in verse 7, where he says, much dreaming and many words are meaningless. So here's one way to understand what he's talking about. So think of the times when you remember your dreams. It tends to be when you're really busy, right? When you're really stressed out and there's a lot going on in your life. See, awake or asleep, we can fixate on what may or may not happen, and we work that out. And those worries, they come flooding out of our mouths with an ocean of words, even an ocean of words before God. So I want you to stop here and don't think that that means I'm telling you that you shouldn't talk to God, because Scripture says we should. It says we should cast all our cares on him because he cares for you. It says we should pray without ceasing. But my point here is the warning is just don't forget who you're talking to. There is a way to approach God, and there is a way not to. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to Jesus. He says in Matthew 6, 7 through 8, And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. See, my point here is that God wants to hear from us, but hearing from him carries the most weight. So keep our words few. Don't make it a habit of talking over God while he's trying to talk to you. When you come to worship God, come prepared, listen more, talk less, and then when you do, mean what you say. Simple. Verse 4 through 6 spell this out. They talk about the danger of making vows to God that we don't keep. See, vows are promises that we make to God, like, if you do what I ask, then I will sacrifice this thing for you. If you help me pass this test, I will go to crew every week. If you give me enough money from my job to pay rent in Santa Barbara, then I will tithe. Right? See, vows go wrong when they're selfish or when we don't follow through on them. There's a couple who tried it and it didn't end well. There is a terrifying story in Scripture we should all take great fear from. And here's what happened. It's in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11, and I'm just going to read a portion of it to you. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, and he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not just lied to human beings, but to God. Okay, and then in this story, we know what happened next. Ananias just falls over, struck dead by God. And then his wife Sapphira comes in, recants the same lie to the apostles, and she falls over dead. And instantly, the whole Christian community at the time is struck with fear of the Lord. Fitting. Like, we would be too if that happened in our midst. But so what happened here? This couple had absolutely no obligation to give all the real estate profits to the church. They tried to make a show of looking super religious, but instead, since we cannot con God, who's omniscient, they just fell dead right there at Peter's feet. Hevel. Their worship was hevel. Smoke. Nothing. Worthless. A dangerous game for tiny humans to play for the God of the universe. The God whom Isaiah says this. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings, with two wings covering their faces, two covering their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And that's a warning for all of us. The warning is in verse 4, and it says, when you make a vow to God, don't delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasures in fools. Fulfill your vow. When you come to worship God, come prepared. Listen more. Talk less. And mean what you say. Because he's holy. And we're not. So if Kohelet's warning so far have you paralyzed appropriately, then I want you to hear some good news. But I don't want you to take my word for it. This good news comes from the author of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And here's the good news. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, God loves every one of us so much that he gave his son Jesus, the only person who never sinned, never intentionally, never unintentionally, the only one able to stand before God with his shoes on. Our Jesus poured out himself as an offering for our guilt, dying willingly on the cross so that we could stand before our holy God too. So when I look around here and I wonder, is our worship tainted? Yes. Are you sitting next to a hypocrite and a sinner? Yes. And is somebody sitting next to you? Yes. But there is hope of us being transformed to be more like Jesus. Yes, there is. Two things are true. We come to God unworthy in worship. And if we put our trust in Jesus and what he did for us, we are completely covered by his righteousness. And he not only accepts our worship, but it pleases him. And he wants it. So church, we're just going to continue this morning to give it to him. And we're going to do that in a couple of different ways. So one way we're going to do that is we're going to come and participate in communion. And in doing that, we're going to remember that we are in Christ and we are able to come and worship a holy God even in our sinful state because God sees us in him, because his righteousness covers us. His broken body, his blood shed for us, we can take that in and recognize symbolically that he is covered our sin. And we're going to do that with silence as well. We're going to continue to worship with communion, but we're going to worship in silence to begin with. We're going to have a little bit of an extended time of silence as we do that. And so as you sit in your seats and as you ponder God's magnificence and then begin to just let your mind go and listen to what God would have for you. And when the timing feels right, come on up and continue to worship him with communion. The band's going to come up, and when they do, they're going to start us off with a little bit of an instrumental lead-in, so we have an extended time of quiet to really listen to our Lord and let our words be few. But then our words are going to continue. And that is appropriate, but not just because I said so. Listen to Colossians 3, 15 through 17. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so that's what we're going to continue to do in worship. There will be prayer teams for you whenever you're ready on the left and the right and in the back. And as you take a moment of silence and let that moment extend, and when you're ready, come up for communion and then continue with more silence. And we'll do that together in our worship. Amen.